always in my corner, and you know, usually it's her in these finals, so I'm trying my best to represent Williams as best as I can.
Venus Williams will get Garbine Muguruza Saturday morning. You can watch it on ESPN television beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Venus did say she does miss having Serena at these championships.
I missed her so much before this match, and I was like, I just wish she was here, and I was like, I wish she could do this for me. And I was like, no, this time you can do it for yourself.
Venus Williams gets the straight set win this morning. Coming up Friday morning, men's semifinal coverage. It'll be on ESPN television. American Sam Querrey will be there. Roger Federer will take on Thomas Berdych. Querrey, meanwhile, he will get the 7th seed Marin Cilic. Coverage on ESPN beginning at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Coming up on Friday morning. Meanwhile, from Major League Baseball, the Cubs, 2 games under .500, 43-45, as they get set to start the second half of the baseball season. Today, they made a deal with the Southsiders, the White Sox. They pick up lefty Jose Quintana in exchange for 4 prospects, including their best.
Rudy Gay ruptured his Achilles tendon last season, but said he's aiming for the greatest comeback ever next season. How's the rehab coming along? We'll ask him when he joins Mike and Mike Friday morning at 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Hard to imagine anything can keep cool on a scorcher like today. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which could cause damage to your battery's internal structure. That's why Duralast batteries are designed to beat the heat, tested to start your car at up to 167 degrees Fahrenheit. Duralast, proven tough and sold only at AutoZone. Order one online or by phone and pick up in store today. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's All-Pro tight end Rob Gronkowski. And nothing fuels my patented Gronk spike like all-natural Oberto beef jerky. Lean beef, slow-cooked, and seasoned to perfection. It's all-natural and all-delicious. Don't take a chance with some wimpy snack. Go with protein-packed, all-natural Oberto beef jerky.
Oberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all-natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
Big penalties for one of this year's dominant drivers. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Victory Junction was young race driver Adam Petty's dream. He worked toward building a camp where children with serious medical conditions could concentrate on fun and not their illness or disease. When he died tragically, his family and friends around NASCAR made sure that dream came true. Today, Victory Junction is a camp that provides fun, life-changing experiences to children dealing with illnesses and disabilities, all at no cost to the camper. Help us serve more children by visiting victoryjunction.org.
MRN.com, your online destination for all things NASCAR. Looking for the latest NASCAR news? MRN.com. NASCAR stats for fantasy racing? MRN.com. Opinion pieces from award-winning motorsports writers? MRN.com. Race schedules, series standings, and photos? MRN.com. Live race streaming and audio and video podcasts that you can't miss? MRN.com. Stay up to date with all things NASCAR. MRN.com.
Kyle Larson and his Chip Ganassi Racing team finished second on Saturday night at Kentucky Speedway, but NASCAR dropped the hammer on the team with penalties this week after failing post-race inspection. The 42 car was found to have an illegal rear brake cooling assembly, thus leading to a 35-point penalty for both Larson and team owner Chip Ganassi, a $75,000 fine and 3-race suspension for crew chief Chad Johnston, and the second-place finish was encumbered. The point penalty drops Larson to second in the standings, 34 points behind Kentucky winner Martin Truex Jr. For more on the penalties and this weekend's activity in New Hampshire, visit MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Hour number 3, underway on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mantod Brommelkamp on vacation today, celebrating his son's first birthday on this July the 13th. Hard to believe that it's been a year. You can find the first 2 hours, the podcast of the first 2 hours, on our website, kgymradio.com. And that's where you can vote in our poll question. And it has to do with the trade that took place in Chicago in Major League Baseball today. Who won the White Sox-Cubs trade? Three options, the Cubs, the Sox, or both teams. We're going to continue with a countdown to kickoff. And we talked to Will Raggetz earlier, just in hour number two, about the Northwestern Wildcats. And now we're going to head to West Lafayette, Indiana, to hear all about the Purdue Boilermakers with Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Mike, good afternoon. Let me first start with this. How much energy and hope has Jeff Brohm kind of injected into a fan base that hasn't seen a winning team since 2011?
Well, a lot. And anytime you get a new coaching staff and a new direction, you're going to have that kind of enthusiasm. And a lot of it, I think, is merited because I really think that Jeff Brohm fits what Purdue should be about, and that's about the quarterback position. This is the cradle of quarterbacks. They've produced a lot of them over the years. And, you know, Brohm's a former quarterback at Louisville, played in the NFL. So I think it's a good match from that standpoint. And, you know, and Jeff is just solely about football, and he's got a lot of support staff around him. You know, he's been saying the right things and doing the right things, but ultimately you have to produce some wins on Saturdays during the fall, and you know, and that's what people are gonna look to. But you know, in the off season right now, there is a little bit of excitement building just to see what he's going to bring to the program.
And I know it's hard to describe it fully, but just give us an idea. Just how big of a rebuild is this going to be for him?
Well, it's hard to say right now because he's doing everything that he can to try to squeeze something out of this year. And, you know, when I say that, you know, the definition is he's added five graduate transfers in the off season. So he is in a win now mentality, trying to upgrade this roster with whatever he can find out there to help this team this season. They're bringing in also some junior college players. So they have probably 10 or so players that have some college experience, either at the JUCO level, the FCS level, or the FBS level. So he's improved the roster from that standpoint. But when you look at the roster at the end of last year, yeah, this is going to be a major rebuild. And one thing that I've noticed is that you have a lot of, you know, a lot of these preseason watch lists are coming out. We're not seeing any Purdue players on them. And it's, in my opinion, it's really not too difficult to get on these watch lists. I mean, it seems like everybody in the country, at least every program in the country, has at least one guy. So Purdue has not shown up yet, and we'll see if they show up later. But, you know, the roster needs a lot of work, and recruiting is priority number one for Brohm right now.
Now, Jeff Brohm, going back to Western Kentucky and then even his days at Louisville, likes to run the wide open kind of air raid offense. My question for you is, with what's returning, with what is on this roster offensively, does he have the personnel to implement that in year one?
Well, you know, again, we'll see. I mean, the receivers that we saw in the spring probably will not be the starting receivers when they open up against Louisville. They brought in a graduate transfer from Notre Dame, Corey Holmes, who didn't see a lot of time up there, but obviously has the speed to fit in the Big Ten. And they've got a couple of junior college receivers that are going to get the first look at trying to win that job. From an offensive line standpoint, they have some, you know, they have some question marks. But again, they brought in two offensive linemen that are grad transfers, have experience. You know, you add to the depth. You know, maybe those two guys challenge for a starting spot. But it all starts with the quarterback and David Blau. And he had a good year last year, but while he led the league in yards and touchdown passes and all that, he also led the league in interceptions. And some of that had to do with playing from behind, trying to make plays when they're not there, just trying to help your team win. But if Blau can take a step forward from last year, cut down on the turnovers, improve his footwork and some other things, you know, I think he'll benefit from Brohm's style. And they have a good stable of running backs. But, you know, again, it's gonna come down to how Blau performs in this offense.
You mentioned a few already, but who are some of the other names to look out for at wide receiver to fill the void that exists with D'Angelo Yancey now in a Green Bay Packer uniform?
Yeah, I mean, Corey Holmes is going to get a shot, and then one of the JUCO transfers is Terry Wright. He's going to get a shot. You know, some of the guys they had coming back last year that played in the spring didn't see a lot of time during the 2016 season. There's some, you know, there's some really unknowns there. You know, really the whole group is unknown because they haven't really played for Purdue, and that's a glaring weakness. But you know, if these guys can step in and, you know, catch the ball and make a few plays, you know, I think they'll be better off, you know, out of the gate.
One of the interesting things that we followed, and I'm sure you'll have a better perspective on this, but last year, Austin Appleby and Danny Etling were both playing in the SEC to varying degrees of success, but both of them played at one time at Purdue. Why was it so difficult for Daryl Hazel to find a quarterback? And then it just seems interesting because you see those guys go to the SEC.
Well, I think he found the quarterbacks. He just didn't keep them. So that was one issue. And, you know, Danny Etling had committed under Danny Hope, who preceded Daryl Hazel, but ended up signing under Daryl. Then Austin Appleby came in. You know, a lot of it was the system that they were running. Daryl was, I'm not going to say it wasn't quarterback friendly, but Daryl learned from Jim Tressel, and Jim Tressel was more of a conservative type coach, and Daryl and his offensive staff at the time were trying to maybe implement a more conservative game plan, focusing on the run, and that's, you know, with the talent on the roster, that just didn't fit what Purdue should be about. So it was, you know, it was tough for Purdue fans to see Appleby and Etling both playing in the SEC and think, well, what might have been here, but I chalk it up to, you know, a system that Purdue was running that just really was a bit just didn't fit, you know, those players, and they felt the need to go somewhere else, and you know, and I don't blame them for that. I mean, I think both of them were probably better off in the end, but it'd been nice if Brom had some of that talent at that position, especially with Danny Etling, who I think is a tremendous talented quarterback, you know, with him in this program right now.
Moving to the other side of the football, 9 starters return on the defensive side. What will things look like under first-year defensive coordinator Nick Holt?
I think they'll be aggressive. I think they're going to attack. You know, Nick Holt has learned his defensive strategies from Pete Carroll, worked with Pete Carroll at a couple stops. And, you know, based on what we saw in the spring, I think they're just really going to get after it. And they're going to try to force the action. With opposing offenses, they're going to give up some big plays, but you know, you hope that they can maybe create some big plays on their own by keeping some teams off balance. And they're going to have to do some different things similar to what they need to do on offense, because they just can't sit back in a traditional 4-3 scheme and try to stop teams. They've got to take the action to them because they just don't have the frontline talent and also the depth to really just let teams kind of take over the line of scrimmage. So they have to be a disruptive force. You know, I think they're going to try to do that. And I think that's, you know, right now that's going to be a good plan, but, you know, we'll see how it all works out. But I would look for them to be more aggressive and you know, attacking type of style there.
Mike Carmen of Lafayette Journal and Courier joining us on KGYM at 6:14. And Mike, I know we've talked a lot about the question marks and the areas of concern, and under a first year head coach after a team goes 3-9, there's a lot of them. But on the other side, what is this team's biggest strength?
Well, I think from a personnel standpoint, it's going to be if you just look at the linebackers, Juwan Bentley and Marcus Bailey and Danny Izuchukwu. They got a grad transfer from Western Kentucky that's going to help them from that. But I think the biggest strength that Jeff Brom is probably going to bring out of the gate is just really forcing these guys to play 60 minutes. I think if anybody has watched Purdue football the last 3 or 4 years, if you've hung around long enough in the second half, you know, when the games got out of hand, you know, things – you know, some players just stop playing, and that's a reflection on the coach. It's a reflection on everything that's going on in the program, and based on what we've seen from Jeff Brohm, you know, I think his intangible will be to demand that these guys play regardless of the score and stay in there and stay in there until the very end. And if he can get that accomplished, you start changing the culture, and then eventually, you know, good things do start to happen, whether it's this year or in the coming seasons.
Is there a newcomer or two that could make a big impact this fall?
Well, you know, the newcomers I'm looking at are the grad transfers, and they're brought in for a reason. You know, they're here to play, and they're going to get every opportunity to play. We mentioned Corey Holmes as a wide receiver. He was at Notre Dame. He ran a 4.42340, I believe, up there or somewhere in that neighborhood. That's too fast for me or you or
that is true.
Anybody probably listening right now. So, but he's a guy, and then T.J. McCollum is the linebacker I alluded to earlier. That, you know, knows Holt's, what Holt's about, because, you know, Nick was down at Western Kentucky last year, so he brings some familiarity to the defense. And I just think that the new faces that are coming into the program, whether they're grad transfers or junior college players, you know, I think a lot of it's going, you know, a lot of Purdue's success, if they have any this year, I think is going to be hinged on how those players perform. Because they're going to get every opportunity to play, and they've got to take advantage of it, and they have to be better than what they've had in the past.
Mike, one more before we let you go. Looking at the schedule, it is brutal. They play two Power 5 teams. They lead off the season against the reigning Heisman Trophy winner in Lamar Jackson. Then they play Ohio, and then they go on the road to Columbia to face Missouri, and then the Big Ten slate isn't real forgiving either. Which... Under first-year head coach Jeff Brohm, what is a reasonable expectation for 2017?
Well, his expectation and my expectations are probably different.
Your expectation.
Those first four games are Louisville, Ohio, Missouri, and Michigan. Can they get one of those? You know, I think that's the key question. If you can get one of those, and the one you're looking at is Ohio, then I think they should feel pretty good. But you get to meet the Big Ten schedule, teams in the past they really haven't competed with, Wisconsin, you know, Minnesota has taken care of them easily over the last few years, Iowa, Northwestern. You know, those are teams that they need to get closer to. But Purdue is going to suffer injuries. All college football teams are going to suffer injuries, and they don't have the depth. If they can stay relatively healthy, you know, I think there's three or four games on that schedule that they should be in contention in the second half to have a chance to possibly win, you know, and that's Ohio and Rutgers, Illinois and Indiana. But, you know, if they're not healthy, then I don't think they're going to have a difficult time really competing. But, you know, if somehow they could squeeze three wins out of this year, I think that would be considered a good year. From my standpoint, but we'll see what kind of impact Jeff Brohm has really from the very beginning.
Mike Harmon, the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
The Purdue Boilermakers, stop number 7 on the countdown to kickoff, brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, where we will be tomorrow. The KGYM road trip. We'll head to Iowa City. We'll be there from 4 until 7. Happy hour is from 3 until 7, $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles for that four-hour period. Tomorrow we're going to chat with Jack Dom, Mount Mercy baseball coach, and we're going to have stop number 8 on our countdown to kickoff, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, where we will be at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place July the 24th and July the 25th. We'll get you more details on that when it inches closer, but I absolutely cannot wait for that, Kyle. And I didn't know what to expect my first year. Actually, my first year here at KGYM was the first year that we went to Big Ten Media Days. And I will just tell you this, it is an absolute blast. It's a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work for you. It's going to be a lot of work for myself. It's going to be a lot of work for Todd. But you're in for quite an eye-opening yet enjoyable experience.
I was in Chicago a couple times for the basketball media days over the last few years with the Daily Iowa.
Imagine that times about five.
That's what I've heard. I've seen pictures of the huddles around basketball coaches at media day, and then I've seen pictures of the swarms around football coaches, and I know it's totally different.
I have several pictures of the swarms. 2 years ago, actually the last 2 years, who am I kidding? It was around Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. Those have been the leading two candidates for swarms the first 2 years that we've been to Big Ten Media Days. Lovie Smith had a pretty big swarm last year around him, his first year at Illinois. But every once in a while, you'll get a Heisman candidate or something that just gets bombarded. Last year, I want to thank Matt Weitzel and Steve Rowe last year for we had every single Iowa guest on the show, which is usually the case. But heading into last year with the hype that was surrounding C.J. Beathard and Josie Jewell and Desmond King, who were the three representatives of Iowa, let's just say there were a lot of other media requests other than us, and it came down to the last minute if they could squeeze 10 or so minutes into their schedule. Because there were so many requests from local media, from national media, regional media. Everybody wanted to get their hands on those guys, and they still made time for us. 6:21, Woodja is on the way. We have about 30 minutes left in the show before we lead you to the KGYM road trip. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update after this. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. It's your chance to get a Ford F-150 for 0% financing for 60 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on the award-winning built Ford Tough F-150. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. And save big on the Ford F-150. Get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event, going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month per $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
Play real pool. Yeah, the kind manly men play. At TCB Pool Hall. TCB isn't one of those joints with a quarter pool table stuck in the back room for atmosphere. No. TCB is a pool hall. 10 full-size tables you rent by the hour. But you gotta be 21 to get in because any regulation game of pool requires something cold in your hand. Pool, cold beer, TCB Pool Hall. On the Ped Mall, next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
6:24 on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Studio A, Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. 28 minutes to play with on this Thursday, July the 13th, before we head to Coach's Corner tomorrow. And before we get to Woodja, what do we have to do, Kyle?
A Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One Bank, where you're the one. Take it away, Kyle. Thanks. We've got more preseason watch list news today, beginning with Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell being named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. That list was announced today by the Football Writers Association of America and will go to the nation's most outstanding defensive player. This comes just a few days after Jewell was named to the Chuck Bednarik watch list. The Football Writers Association also named Hawkeye linemen Sean Welsh and James Daniels to the Outland Trophy Award watch list, which goes to the nation's most outstanding interior lineman. This, too, comes just days after Daniels was also named to the Remington Trophy watch list. The Big 12 released its preseason media poll today, and the Cyclones were picked to finish 9th in the 10-team league, ahead of only Kansas. Oklahoma was pegged to win that title. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is competing in the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois this weekend, and he finds himself tied for second with Rory Sabatini and Patrick Rogers after the first round. They all came in 6 under par and trail Charles Howell III by 2 strokes. The Colonels lost 2-0 last night at the hands of the West Michigan Whitecaps and will try to avoid being shut out for a third consecutive game tonight. They've got Evan Sanders on the hill for the Colonels facing Alfred Gutierrez for West Michigan. That game got started just about 20 minutes ago and is still knotted at nothing in the top of the second. We'll keep you posted as our show goes on.
We'll have one more big board update.
Am I going to have to throw it to myself?
No, that was unnecessary. Were you making fun of me by doing that?
No.
Okay, good answer. 626. If you haven't heard the news already, one of two things is at play. The first is that you're not a baseball fan. If you haven't heard the news, you're either not a baseball fan or you have no access to Twitter or the internet.
At all.
Is that fair?
Yeah, none at all.
One of those two things. I know there are a lot of people out there that aren't huge baseball fans. I wasn't trying to call somebody who didn't know the trade had happened automatically not a baseball fan. I threw another caveat out there.
Right. It's not that, you know, and there's nothing wrong if you're not a baseball fan. It's just that we're still kind of in the zone where there's not a lot of things going on in sports. And this was, Scott Unash came in today and told us that Chicago media was saying this is the biggest trade in Chicago baseball history.
So we'll reset it. Jose Quintana, left-handed pitcher, formerly of the Chicago White Sox, was traded to the Chicago Cubs. In return, the White Sox stock up their farm system once again. What was already a top 2 or 3 farm system in baseball adds 2 of the top 50 prospects in baseball. You add Eloy Jimenez, who was in high A, I believe in Myrtle Beach, in the Chicago Cubs organization. And then Dylan Cease, who was really the only pitching prospect in the Cubs organization that they thought could turn into a starter. And there's been a lot of instant reaction, some good, some bad. Let's just say mixed reaction from both sides. I think for the most part, the Chicago White Sox fans are pretty content with rebuilding and continuing to trade some of their pieces to stockpile their farm system. On the Cubs side, yes, the starting rotation needed to be addressed, and yes, it has been addressed because Jose Quintana is under contract for the next 3 years, but a lot of people are concerned as to whether Jose Quintana is worth giving up your top 2 prospects, and Kyle, I believe you think he is.
I spent a lot of time thinking about that today because I know he's on the fence, and I looked at his numbers, and you were sitting right there with me. The first thing, I opened his stats, gave it a quick superficial look, and I said to you, I don't see anything in these numbers that says he's a great pitcher, but I had to dive deeper, and if he's not a great pitcher, he's at worst a top shelf.
He's a good pitcher.
He's a top shelf left-hander. This year, he's 4-8 with a 4.45 ERA and a 1.3 whip, but let's go back to last year. He had a 3.2 ERA and a 1.16 whip, which puts him 17th in the whole league in ERA and 21st in whip, which are good, but then let's narrow it down. Let's look at his quality start percentage, which is what percentage of the starts that you make are you providing starts?
I'm trying to think. What is it?
I think it's actually
5 2/3 innings.
I think
three
it's actually
or less
six.
Runs. Six
or something
innings,
like that.
3 or less runs.
Yeah. So
earned
like,
runs.
And he was 9th in all of baseball with that. And some of the names in front of him were John Lester, Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, Rick Porcello, Max Scherzer, Madison Bumgarner, and Chris Sale. So that's the company that you're working with. And he also last year led the league with 7 tough losses, which is losses...
which are going to happen on the Chicago White Sox.
Right, and he led the league with that, which is a loss, even though you've given a quality start. But then let's go ahead and narrow it down. Lefties last year, he was 5th in whip, 4th in ERA, 3rd in wins above replacement, 4th in quality start percentage, 6th in his strikeout to walk ratio, and 10th in batting average on balls in play.
Moral of the story, to acquire a pitcher, especially a lefty, who has 3 years on a very good contract, you're going to have to give up a lot. And especially when I heard Theo Epstein say that he said that he wanted to go for a long-term answer at the trade deadline. He didn't want any rentals. When I heard that, I pretty much had an idea that at least Eloy Jimenez would be traded, and then possibly, you know, you didn't know which other chips were going to be traded. It depended on the team. Did the team want a pitcher? If the team wanted a pitcher, then Dylan Cease is the candidate. Did a team want another hitter? Maybe in that case, Ian Happ, depending on how big of a haul in return it is for the Cubs or who they are getting. Regardless, you can still vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. It goes like this. Who won the White Sox-Cubs trade? Was it the Cubs? Was it the White Sox? Or was it both teams? KGYMradio.com is where you can vote. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back for everybody's favorite segment, and that would be Would Ya? More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann in for Todd Brommelkamp after this.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. It's your chance to get a Ford F-150 for 0% financing for 60 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on the award-winning built Ford Tough F-150. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. And save big on the Ford F-150. Get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event, going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month per $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle. Or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. For DIY tips, hot rides, cool merch, and exclusive content, head over to TeamValvoline.com. Join for free today.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
6:34, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. As I mentioned, Todd's out, Kyle's in. Continues on KGYM radios on all three of our frequencies. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. And our historic main gym, 1600 AM. We have pretty much broken down the Cubs-White Sox trade as much as humanly possible. I know there are a lot of baseball fans out there. For those that aren't, thank you for bearing with us. We have about 19 minutes to play with. And Kyle, what is the one thing we haven't gotten to? And I'll answer this, and I already answered this about 5 minutes ago. We haven't gotten to Would Ya?
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? A shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would ya?
All right, Kyle. This is going to be an interesting version of Would Ya, but not an unprecedented one.
We've done this before. We'll do it again. Haven't done this before. I've done this before.
Isn't this just retro, would you?
No.
Oh, okay.
We originally did it to the point where Todd was asking the questions. This is just a fill-in, would you? We've done it before. It's not the normal way we do it, but regardless, I'm going to start with you. Would you bet on the Cubs to win the NL Central?
Yeah, I would. I definitely would. I do think that the Quintana, he's at least going to give us another good... He's at least going to give the Cubs another
well
good...
Well done.
Another
well
good,
done.
Another good starter. And hopefully we can figure it out. No, but yeah. I do think he's going to give that rotation a little bit of the invigoration that it needed. And hopefully this all-star break where the Cubs kind of look at themselves in the face, they realize we're not 500... We're not leading the division. We don't have any all-stars. It's about time to kick up. They need to kick themselves in the butt. And hopefully the Quintana deal is kind of the front office also kicking them in the butt. And they're easily the most talented team in the division. And so I'm gonna guess that they figure it out, which is kind of what I've been waiting for them to do all year, and they haven't shown that they will. But I still think that they will. All right, I've got one for you. I was watching the ESPYs, and things it seems weird for Peyton Manning for me. So my question for you, if in such a setting, would you rather be the host who's up there roasting all of your friends and all of the most famous celebrities, or would you rather be in attendance and be viciously, mercilessly roasted one time?
Is this a real question? This is...
You're going to think it's easy, but I'm going to make you think twice about it.
What, are you crazy? I want to be the guy... I can't tell you the amount of times where I'm sitting on the couch and I come up with a Dan Le Batard style, man, this guy looks like blank.
Okay.
Or this lady looks like blank. It happens all the time. And I want to go tweet it, and then I'm thinking to myself, no, that's not going to go over well.
Exactly.
I want to say it, and then you don't. I'm going to say, you know, that's not going to go over well. But you're telling me a setting where that is all okay. And if that situation ever presented itself, and I'm not saying that I'm any kind of a comedian, because I'm not. I think anybody that listens to this show can attest to that, and I'm sure the text line is going to light up in attesting to that. But I would absolutely rather be the person roasting people than the person getting roasted. I don't care if it's one time. Words can hurt.
All right. It's hard to be a jerk. I thought maybe you might have a heart. It is.
I will say that. But if it's in a setting where being a jerk is encouraged...
Only by the audience, though, not by the actual victims.
It is a setting...
Your friends are going to be mad at you.
Fine. There is one person... in the crowd who, out of, what, 25,000 people in attendance that's going to be mad, everybody else is going to be cracking up.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
100 times out of 100. All right, speaking of the ESPYs, are you a fan of the ESPYs?
I don't really get a kick out of it, not really.
All right. Would you rather watch the entire ESPYs show or an entire NBA Summer League game?
The whole show.
The whole shebang.
Or a whole game. Well, I guess... What I've been doing is a indubitably superior alternative. I've been rewatching season 6 of Game of Thrones, season 7 starting Sunday. If any of you guys are interested, you can text me on the text line.
That's not the question. The question is, what would you rather do? Watch the whole ESPY show or watch a full NBA Summer League game?
All right. If I had to pick one of those, I'm going Summer League, because at least... The ESPYs is just kind of review for a bunch of things that I already am aware of and I know happened already. It's just kind of an appreciation night. Whereas the Summer League, you know, we got some of basketball's hottest prospects out there. Some teams trying to fill out their rosters. You're looking at 8, 9, 10 roster spots there. You know, there are real things happening in the Summer League. I would watch basketball. At least it's substantial, and actually it's boring, but it's captivating. Alex, would you rather have the current Cubs MLB roster, or would you rather have the White Sox farm system?
This is going to be a little bit... It's not going to be a tough answer, but
I know we live in a minor league market, and a lot of people are big into prospects. And we talked about this in hour number one. And if you want to go back and listen, you can go to kgymradio.com, and you can vote in our emails hideaway poll question and listen to the podcast. But we talked about prospects, and Sonny in Iowa City brought up a good point. Prospects are the new thing. Prospects are the unknown thing, and prospects are the exciting thing, but they're not the tangible thing. They're not something that has shown the ability to do really, actually, quite literally, anything at the major league level. I used to be somebody who was big into following the trajectory of prospects' careers. I would watch... I'd watch the Futures game. I would be on MILB.com all the time. And after a while, after seeing several prospects just not pan out, I thought to myself, this is kind of wasting my time and energy. Sitting here and trying to figure out which ones are going to hit and which ones aren't, because quite honestly, the experts who do this are about 50% right, and the experts know a heck of a lot more about it than I do. They see these guys more often than I do. So 100 times out of 100 times, I am taking the proven players, and that's what the Chicago Cubs are. And I think back to, it was 2009. This was really the last time where I thought to myself, oh, the Cardinals just got rid of a great prospect and they got a proven player. The Cardinals traded Brett Wallace, their first round draft pick that year, for Matt Holliday. And I couldn't begin to tell you how disappointed I was that Brett Wallace was leaving the Cardinals. And that turned out pretty well. And since then, yes, of course, you see some times where these trades absolutely blow up in teams' faces. But if you're giving me the opportunity to take a roster full of players who have already proven that they can succeed at the major league level, some of them have also proven that they can fail. Some of them have been up and down, but they have proven that they can succeed at the major league level. I am taking that every time over a group of prospects that haven't shown anything at the major league level yet. Dan from Swisher, or excuse me, Matt in Cedar Rapids, enough of the Cubs. Let's talk about the Dodgers. We can talk about the Dodgers a little bit later. They are a good baseball team. And Cody Bellinger is really good.
I was proud of their fan base for responding to Kenley Jansen's criticisms and getting Justin Turner in the All-Star game.
But before that, would you bet on a slow second half for Aaron Judge?
Put me in a weird spot. I'm going to say no. Because people have been saying, you know, since the beginning of since this whole thing with Aaron Judge started, people have been saying, oh, wait till these pitchers start seeing him a second time, wait till they see him a third time. But you know what? Aaron Judge is hitting .330 over the first half of the year, and he hasn't shown any signs at all of slowing down. So I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna say he's gonna keep up the phenomenal work. And he's going to go ahead and kill it the second half of the year. I'm not going to guarantee a triple crown, but he's right there. And I haven't seen anything. Even though people keep telling me to wait for it and watch for it, I haven't seen anything to indicate that he's going to settle.
All right, let's play this game. Over, under 300 average.
Over? He would have to go in quite a slump by now.
Over, under 45 home runs.
Over. He's 66% there.
Over, under 115 RBIs.
I'm not exactly sure his number right now. I'm going to go ahead and over. I'll go over with
that.
So
we're looking at over 300.
Okay, not the RBIs.
Over 45 home runs, over 115 RBIs.
He's hitting .330 already. He already has 30 home runs.
How often have we seen, and I think Aaron Judge is a great player. I'm just saying that it's happened before. That's not unprecedented.
It has happened before, but
it happens every year, in fact. Yeah. I for the sake of baseball, I hope you're right.
Yeah, okay, so he's got 66 RBIs right now. 115 will be a little bit of a stretch, but as far as he's all, I do think he'll hit over 300, and I do think he'll hit over 45 home runs. I've got one more question for you. I've been hearing a lot of yelling by Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather recently. So if you're Conor, would you rather continue to run your loud mouth because it's going to attract attention and put more money in your pocket? Or would you shut your mouth because at the end of the day, you're probably going to have embarrassed yourself?
Oh, I'm running my mouth all the way to the end. Because I think there is this small chance that if I'm Conor McGregor, that I'm going to throw a punch that could finally connect with Floyd Mayweather Jr. There's about a 1% chance. And on that 1%, I am putting 100% of my effort, 100% of my smack talk, 100% of my absolutely arrogant personality on the line to attract people to pay this $99.95 to watch this fight. More on that in a second. He is in way too deep at this point. I still don't understand, from at least a cheering standpoint, what this is going to bring. Because I think that there are so many people out there that hate both of these guys.
Yeah, they both got plenty of haters.
There's no hero, there's no villain. There's no hero, there's two villains. So from that standpoint, I don't understand. But this pre-fight, what do you even call this? Circus. This pre-fight circus that is going on is going to drum up so much interest that even if I get knocked out in the first round, if I'm Conor McGregor, which actually I don't think is going to happen.
No, it won't be first round.
It won't be first. If I get knocked, if I get toyed around with by Floyd Mayweather Jr. for seven rounds and get tired and eventually fall down and embarrass myself,
falsely,
more likely, I have millions and millions of dollars in my pocket. I'm not going back on anything because I am in way too deep at this point. So I'm taking that money to the bank. All right, last one. On that same subject, would you pay $99.95 for the McGregor Mayweather fight if you had the money? If you had the money,
that's $99.95.
Yes, it's actually $89.95. But if you want it in HD, it's $99.95, and we're in 2017, so of course you're going to want it in HD.
I would. I would go ahead and foot that. My tiptoe around the rules answer would be that obviously I'm going to split that with friends. You know, at worst, it'll come be like 10, 20 bucks or something like that. But even if it's still 100, that is the fighting event of our generation, at least this. Because I look back on the Mayweather-Pacquiao, that was a total flop. That historically, I'll just go ahead and forget about that. This McGregor-Mayweather, even if it is an embarrassing fight, it is a collision of MMA and boxing. It's old school versus new school, and I got to see this. With all the discussion about how, you know, there's a lot of people who believe passionately that Mayweather isn't even going to give McGregor a chance, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who passionately think that McGregor, all he's got to do is land one punch, and I mean, that's true. He's much stronger, I would think. All it will take is one. And so really, on paper, it looks like Floyd would win this fight easily, but I'm not going to not watch it because I know what could happen and I know how big of an event that would be. That would be the combat sports event of the generation.
6 minutes remaining on this July 13th edition of the afternoon show, the 4-7 show on KGYM Radio. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann, who was filling in for Todd Brommelkamp. Todd will be back with us tomorrow as we head to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. We're going to take our final break of the afternoon. We'll be back with a big board update, and we'll tell you who is going to be joining us tomorrow at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. More on the way after this.
It's time for some straight talk. You love your phone, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm watching highlights on it right now.
But I'm guessing you don't love your big old expensive wireless plan with all the mystery fees and data overages on your bill every month.
Now, tell me about it.
Well, what if I told you, Greeny, that you could keep the phone you love but pay a whole lot less every month?
How do I do that?
Just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. You can actually keep your exact same phone, your exact same number, even your exact same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying now.
Boom, that's a home run.
Out of the park.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month with nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
I'm all-pro cornerback Richard Sherman, and when I'm not chasing receivers, I'm trying to keep up with my kids. That's why Oberto Beef Jerky is my favorite snack. Oberto is delicious, lean beef, slow-cooked and seasoned to perfection, all natural and all delicious. Oberto Beef Jerky is protein-packed, so I can keep up with my busy. Raiden, stop grabbing your sister's hair.
Oberto Beef Jerky, you get out what you put in.
Refers to Oberto's all-natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
Right now at the Home Depot, Ortho Bug Be Gone 32-ounce concentrate, ready to spray, or 10-pound bag is your choice, two for just $10. There's no magic to making bugs disappear, but there is Bug Be Gone. It'll knock out over 100 types of insects for fewer pests in your lawn and more money in your pocket. Start your own disappearing act with Ortho Bug Be Gone. Your choice, two for just $10, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
Ah, the important things in life. $2 bottles of Cold Bud anytime. Happy hour, 5 days a week from 3 to 7. An outdoor patio and an array of excellent choices for good eats. That's Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. They fully support your need for drink, food, and sports, with an abundance of televisions dedicated to the teams you rabidly follow. Come by Coach's Corner Sports Pub off Mormon Trek, next to Fairway and the U of I Credit Union, Iowa City's home of the Cardinals. But Cub fans are still welcome.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, are you stealing from the vending machine?
No, Mr. Employee of the Month.
Well, your desk is littered with, like, hundreds of snacks.
I merely exposed a loophole by reaching my arm through the flap thingy. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Yes.
Granola bar?
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
6:52. Returning to Studio A for the final time today. About 5 minutes to play with on the afternoon edition with Todd Brommelkamp out of the KGYM 4-7 show. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. You can get the podcast for this show. Hours number 1 and 2 are up on KGYMradio.com. For the first hour entirely, we talked about the trade that was making waves across Major League Baseball today. Jose Quintana heads to the Chicago Cubs for prospects. Thank you to Will Raggetts of InsideNU.com. He joined us at 5:05 to preview the Northwestern Wildcats as part of our countdown to kickoff. And Ed Creech from MLB Trade Rumors joined us at 5:35. Mike Carmen of the Lafayette Journal and Courier joined us at 6:05. We actually doubled up on the countdown to kickoff. Once again, you can go to our website not only to find the podcast, but to also vote in our Emil's Hideaway poll question. Who won the White Sox-Cubs trade? Was it the Cubs? Was it the Sox? Or was it both teams? We are 2 hours and 50 minutes into local, or excuse me, 3 hours and 50 minutes into local programming. Kyle, one final time, was it both teams?
No, it was not both teams.
It was just the White Sox?
No, of course it was both teams.
All right. Well, that is the hot takes of Kyle Mann. But Kyle, we have one more thing to do, and that's a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
We've got more preseason watch list news today, beginning with Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell being named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. That list was announced today by the Football Writers Association of America and will go to the nation's most outstanding defensive player. This comes just a few days after Jewell was named to the Chuck Bednarik watch list. The Football Writers Association also named Hawkeye linemen Sean Welsh and James Daniels to the Outland Trophy Award watch list, which goes to the nation's most outstanding interior linemen. This, too, comes just days after Daniels was also named to the Remington Trophy watch list. The Big 12 released its preseason media poll today, and the Cyclones were picked to finish ninth in the 10-team league, ahead of only Kansas. The Oklahoma Sooners were pegged to win the title. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is competing in the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois this weekend, and he finds himself tied for second with Rory Sabatini and Patrick Rogers after the first round, all coming in 6 under par and trailing Charles Howell III by 2 strokes. The Colonels lost 2-0 last night at the hands of the West Michigan Whitecaps and will try to avoid being shut out for a third consecutive game tonight. It's lefty Evan Sanders on the hill for the Colonels, and the lineup hasn't quite gotten the memo. There being no hit in the fourth, and that game is still scoreless.
So 0-0. The Colonels lost last night 2-0. And something that you just brought up there, I just want to address real quick. The Iowa State Cyclones picked by the media to finish second to last in the Big Ten. I really do think that this is a year that they will surprise some people. I'm not saying they're going to finish in the top half of the Big 12, but I think that they have a legitimate shot to make a bowl game. There's a lot of talent returning. I'm a big, big believer in Jacob Park, and Alan Lazard is outstanding. And in that league, all you need offense. And yep. I think they have plenty of offense returning. Once again, KGYMradio.com, where you can find our podcast. Hour number 3 is going to be available next. And tomorrow, as I mentioned, we're going to be at Coach's Corner Sports Pub for the KGYM road trip. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy head baseball coach, is going to join us for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. And Iowa native Mike Grimm, the Minnesota Golden Gophers play-by-play announcer, is going to join us as well as part of Countdown to Kickoff. And he will talk about the elite football program that PJ Fleck is going to be trying to build in the Twin Cities. How many times do you think that between Todd and myself, we're going to use the word elite tomorrow?
Well,
what's the over-under?
I'm going to say the over-under is going to be 4, but you guys, if Mike Grimm comes in and he's going to be using it back and forth with you guys, I could see it booming to even over 10.
So the over-under counts all 3 of us? Let's just say the over-under counts all 3 of us. Mike Grimm, myself, Todd.
Okay, all 3, I'll say 6. I'll give you 2 each.
Okay. So Mike Grimm, the Iowa native, Oskaloosa, Iowa native. We see him every year at Big Ten Media Days, and we will catch up with him tomorrow. And they're going to be replacing a quarterback. They're going to be replacing a coach, and a lot of question marks in the Big Ten West, and we will sit down and discuss those as the Big Ten, the Countdown to Kickoff continues on KGYM. We're going to send you to ESPN programming after this. You've been listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Play real pool. Yeah, the kind manly men play at TCB Pool Hall. TCB isn't one of those joints with a quarter pool table stuck in the back room for atmosphere. No, TCB is a pool hall. 10 full-size tables, you rent by the hour. But you got to be 21 to get in, because any regulation game of pool requires something cold in your hand.